Here in the 13th verse, Romans chapter 7, Paul writes, "Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful." Most people that live in the world that you live in do not understand sin. Now, you ask them about certain things, they say, "Oh, that's sin." But other things, especially anything that they do, well, we waver a little bit, but it's not sin. I wouldn't say that. They think of sin as some horrible, obnoxious act that repulses almost every human being. And I do that sometimes. You do too. But sin is far worse than that. Sin is anything less than the holy perfections of deity. God gave the law as a declaration of his righteous standard. That's all it is. That's all the law is. It just says, this is what God is, and you must be what God is, or you must be condemned. It has no saving capacity for any who break the law in any way. The sinfulness of sin is contrary to the requirements of God, but it also is a condemnation of all sinful flesh. Sin is obnoxious, and it's worthy of the hatred of God and worthy of the hatred of his saints. Humanity may hate sin, but they never hate it like God does. He hates sin, and nothing else but sin, and he hates no one except for their sin. I want to bring you a message this morning, if the Lord help me, that I have titled, "Sin is the Enemy of God." Paul's pretty blunt with these Romans. He's pretty blunt with them. He just explains to them, no uncertain terms, that if you sin, you're contrary to God. He goes on in the next couple chapters to tell them that if you have sinned and you've become the enemy of God, the only hope you have is in the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, I want to say that the sinfulness of sin consists in the fact that it's contrary to God. That's why it's sin. It's opposite of God. Carnal flesh is often called by the name the enemies of God. Now, folks don't like that, and they don't particularly align themselves with that title, but it's true. And the carnal man, or the sin that's within us, is referred to as enmity by God himself. Walking contrary to God and rebelling against God are marks of an enemy, not a friend, an enemy. Sin makes people to be resistors of God. It makes people to fight against God. It makes them to be blasphemers of God. It makes them question if God even exists. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 14:1, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good." Sin is high treason against the majesty of God, and it refuses to confess its crime. One of the clearest indications that God has changed a person's heart is when they start taking sides with God against themselves. Sin is contrary to the nature of God. You know, God glories in the fact that he's holy. He's holy. He's glorious in his holiness. His justice and his judgments if we look at them honestly, they look like tyranny. They look like some despot that's come to the earth and come to crush humanity and destroy humanity. And that's the way they are if he wasn't holy. But God's holy. They who are in Christ will one day be as holy as God. That's my hope. That's my refuge. I hope it's yours. Sin is contrary to all the names and attributes of God. Sin despises the sovereignty of God. That's why there are so many Arminians and so few Bible believers. Because man by flesh despises the sovereignty of God. They want God to be their servant. They want God to be their helper. They want God to be their comforter. They don't want him to be a king on a throne. That's what he is. It wills that God shall not sit upon a throne and rule over humanity. But he does. He does. Sin denies God's all-sufficiency. God doesn't need you. I want you to understand that clearly. He does not need you. He doesn't need me. And sin denies contentment and happiness because they're part of being in line with this God who's sovereign. Sin disowns his knowledge. But God sees everything. And he knows everything. When I was a child, my mother used to tell me that Santa Claus knew everything I did, night or day, and I always tried to do things so Santa Claus wouldn't see me. And one of the reasons I never told my children there was a Santa Claus was because I didn't want them to know that I'd been lying to them all those years. Santa Claus doesn't know what you do, but I'll tell you what God does. God knows what you do and nobody else does. He knows what you do, what you think about, and nobody else knows. Sin despises the riches of God's goodness that flows so abundantly to his chosen people. It turns God's grace into compact wantonness. Sin is contrary also to the works of God. It's contrary to divine conduct, and so it's called the work of Satan. Sin in you and sin in me is the work of Satan. Now, he didn't have to work too hard. We're evil enough by ourselves. But sin is arraigned for all the mischief and the evil that's being done in the world. God is good. And he does good. Sin is evil. And it does evil. I don't know about you. Occasionally I get appalled at things I hear about on the news. There's a trial going on, I think, in Franklin County right now about an adult man that killed a little six-year-old child, stabbed him, I forgot how many times. And the court is trying to make sure that all his rights are preserved. Well, I think he has a right to a short rope and a tall tree, but that's my odd idea. But I'll tell you, God's holy. And you not liking God being holy is your problem, not his. Sin is contrary to the law and contrary to the will and the rules of God's appointment. You know, there's not a single one of God's laws that sin has not broken. People find comfort in that. They ask them, have you broke the law? Well, I never broke this one, that one, that one, that one. But that one there, I might have bent that in a little bit a couple of times. Or I actually might have broke one of them, but the rest of them I'm okay on. It doesn't work. The law is an eternal chain, and you break one link, you fall off the cliff. Sin is the opposite of God's will. It sets itself to oppose the preaching of the Word of God. It sets itself to oppose prayer. It sets itself to oppose the praise of God that is so worthy. It makes us act contrary to the will and purpose of God Himself. It's just natural for us. Sin is contrary to the image of God in which we were made to exist. God made this world. He and Christ and the Holy Spirit existed before the world was ever created. And He made this world because He wanted to. He made the animals and the trees and the plants. And then He decided to make man. And from the earth itself, He created a form and He breathed into it the breath of life. Man began to breathe, and God loved man, His creature, His creation. And when man was troubled that he was all alone, God made a woman out of his ribs. And they were so blessed for a short time. And then sin raised its ugly head. And they rebelled against God. They rebelled against His law. They rebelled against His character. And before they knew it, they were cast out of the garden. And an angel was put there to keep them from going back. Sin is the devil's image. Sin made man to fall. Sin brought them into the presence and control of Satan. And sin is also contrary to the people and the children of God. It's not natural for you, as a human being, to be sinless. And it's not natural for you as a child of God to not be sinless. Out of spite and hate, sin will do its worst. Because God loves His chosen people. I think about Stephen a lot. Stephen, the first martyr of our faith. He died, he was stoned to death by the people of his own race. Because he had the audacity to declare the glories of God in Jesus Christ. Stoning is not fun. He looked up into heaven and he saw our Lord standing by the throne. He said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do." The more God's heart is set on His people, the more sin moves against them. Sometimes I wonder, how can I be so sinful and be God's child? And yet the Spirit of God says to me, "You are." Sin endeavors to spoil everything we take in our hands. I get aggravated at myself. I don't know if y'all do that or not, but I do. I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't feel that. It's messing me up. But God always provokes Satan's crowd of people to make war against God. Sin endeavors to spoil everything they take in hand, cause them to turn holy things into iniquity. I went to a basketball game last night. I haven't been to one all year, hardly, and enjoyed the ball game, but I looked around at all those people over there and I thought to myself, I'd like to preach to this crowd. I doubt if they would have come, and I'm real sure they wouldn't have paid $6 a head to get in to hear me preach the glory of God. But they love to come watch somebody bounce a ball. Sin is contrary to, and it's set against the glory of God and everything He does. Confessions of sin and repentance give glory to God. That's why people don't like to confess their sin. I'm an old man. I might even be elderly. I remember when I was a young fella, I had an uncle that used to take me to church, and they'd have prayer meetings. Men have a prayer meeting, the women have a prayer meeting. It used to intrigue me how people would confess their sins. They would pray and they would beg God to forgive them of their sins. And I think, these people are crazy. I ain't telling nobody what I do in my head. I found out later that God already knew. Faith gives glory to God, but sin employs Satan in blinding people's eyes. Sin displeases God. It dishonors God. And it tries its best to defeat him. Now, it won't. It never will, I assure you of that. Sin is contrary to and it's opposite to God's being and God's existence. Everything God is, sin isn't. Everything sin is, God isn't. It makes the sinner to desire and endeavor to eliminate God. I was talking to a man last night. I know his brother real well, and they're totally different. His brother's a believer. He's not. And talking to him for just a minute, he has a totally different perspective on life. Sin will do that to you. It'll make you hate God. It'll make you hate his book. It'll make you hate his church. It'll even make you hate nice preachers like me. God is a troublesome being to sinners. They say to him constantly, "Depart from me. Leave me alone." I noticed this many years ago when I'd probably been pastoring for 10 or 15 years, and I noticed that people only call preachers in the South when things are bad. If they call a preacher, there's one of several problems. Either they're in jail, they need you to get them out, bail them out, or they're drunk and they need somebody to sober them up. Or they've done something really bad and their wife's called them and they're trying to save the home. Those kind of things. When I was a young preacher, there was a fellow here in town, nice fellow, I liked him, but he was drunk. Every time he'd get drunk, his wife would call me and say, "Would you come up here and help my husband?" I'd go up there and he'd be hugging the porcelain throne and talking to Earl, and I'd try to talk to him, get him to quit drinking, quit doing this, that, and the other, tell him he's ruining his life. He said, "Preacher, you are right. I am just a mess. I tell you, I have got to stop this stuff. I'm going to get right with God. I'm going to straighten myself out. I'm going to quit drinking. I'm going to never do this again. You'll never hear from me again." And I wouldn't. Sometimes for a whole week. They're against God. And they're against everything that's dear to him. So don't be surprised or shocked if you're a believer and the world doesn't like you. They're not supposed to. They're not supposed to. And then there's a powerful warning in this passage of Scripture. And you ought to consider seriously what it says. He says, "But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful." I encourage you to pause and consider what I have said to you this morning, that sin is evil. It really is evil. Folks don't think it is. Most people don't believe it is. But the Scripture says it is. What is said of sin is meant of your sin. And my sin, too. that it's evil. It's contrary to God. I encourage you as much as you possibly can to abandon these tents of wickedness and flee to God. Now, you won't do that. He doesn't touch you. But all that you would desire to. Can you find it in your heart to hate sin? Can you find it in your heart to embrace the Lord of glory? He calls us His sheep. You ever see a shepherd hold on to a lamb? You might understand what that means. Then will your heart love that which hates God? Or would you embrace the Lord of glory? I encourage you to not join yourself to that which is nothing and stands against God. And there's plenty of it in our world. I was listening to the news the other day. For some reason I turned the news on. And I listened for a few minutes and I thought to myself, I don't know that this is beneficial to me. There's not a word these people are saying that makes sense. It's not true. And I just don't want to waste my time listening. I've turned it off. I don't know what that makes me, but it made me peace with myself. Say this to the devil. This idol that has created himself in iniquity. What have I got to do with you? I've met people of all kinds in my life. God's been good to me. I've been blessed. I've been all over the world and several different countries, and I've met people, different ideas, different thoughts. I was talking to a lady not too awful long ago, and she told me that she was a lesbian, and that she said, what do you think about that? And I said, it doesn't make any difference what I think. She said, really? I've never had a preacher say that to me before. I said, well, I only know what God says about it. Whatever God says about it is His truth. What I say doesn't make a bit of difference. She said, well, I know that God is loving. I said, oh, He's loving to His people, but He's not loving to those who disobey His law. And before we parted ways, she decided that we really didn't have much in the same wavelength. And that was good because I'd have been worried if she didn't. Satan is he's the cause of hell. Do you understand what hell is? It's the most terrible place you can imagine. There's nobody happy there. There's nobody conscious there. They're all hating the fact that they're there under the justice of God. He's the enemy of righteousness. Now, we have a lot of folks in our world today that are the enemies of righteousness, but he's the head honcho. He ceases to constantly from God's holy ways. Don't be seduced to grieve God or displease God. That's our joy. Dare not to do evil against God. It's by God that I live and move and have my being, and without Him I'm nothing. Consider these things and refuse to go on. Refuse to provoke the Lord. We should never contend with God. First of all, don't ever pick a fight with a guy you know can whip you. That's good advice. You can't contend with God. You can't. He's almighty. He's sovereign. He's holy. God is able to turn the wicked into hell whenever he wants to. You live in a world full of primarily evil people. All God's got to do is want to turn them into justice, and they're gone. You have to excuse me for being elderly, but I think about dying a lot. I don't plan it or anything like that, but I often think, what if God just takes me away? You know. My children don't know about all my business. I don't really want them to know, but there comes a time in life when it's probably important for them to know. There's things about pastoring this church that somebody needs to know. Besides me, because I might not be here. We must learn to pity our own souls for those who sin around us and who wrong God. And in wronging God, they destroy their own souls. Do you have any regard for your soul? That's the most important question I could ask you today. Do you have any concern for your soul? Will you neglect it and despise it and chase the things of this world? Or will you hear God? Look to yourself. See if you find any sin there. And seek to know if Christ's mercy has been exercised towards your needy heart. I once was a sinner. In fact, I still am. But when I was at my worst in sin, the Lord Jesus Christ was revealed to me by the Father to be the only hope that I had. And he gave me faith to believe him and trust him. In all the years since then, I have developed a growing hatred for sin. In myself more than anybody else. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Sin's a terrible thing. It's an affront to God, and it's a condemnation to your soul. If you have even one little sin, just one, you must be blessed of Christ or you'll perish. I was running yesterday in the pool, and there were a whole bunch of people in there. There was about 3,800 children in there. They were all screaming at the top of their voice. And there was a woman in there, a very attractive lady, and she had a baby with her. And that baby was looking around, stuff like that, and then I noticed after a while, and I thought, I wish I'd have had you for a babysitter when Johnny was little. That baby had gone sound asleep. This woman's in the water with the babies. It just laying on her arm, sound asleep, just resting peacefully with all that noise going on. All that thrashing, those people swimming laps and these children jumping and throwing things and hooping and hollering. And I thought to myself, that's what the child of God is. We're in the midst of this furor of life. This surrounded by sin. And our Lord is the soft shoulder on which we rest. and find peace. God is the friend of publicans and sinners. That's my friend. If you're here today and your soul is firmly settled in Christ, rejoice. Rejoice in the abundance of His mercy that He's worked in you by the power of a sovereign God. If you're here today and you're laden with sins, believe me, you can do absolutely nothing about your guilt. Absolutely nothing. But I pray that God will give you life and give you hope in His Son. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, worketh death in me. By that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. Amen.